Amen. Well, my family and I, this past last week, we had an opportunity to just we took the week off, and we had a lot of plans about what we wanted to do. But as the week dwindled down, I saw gas prices and looked at our bank account, and so we just did a staycation. It was good though; it was really good. Got really just spent some time with my wife, my son, and got a lot of stuff done at the house. But you know, we had plans. We wanted to maybe go on a trip, but we didn't get to go super far. But we did go down to Cincinnati one of the days that we had taken off. Now, in order to get to Cincinnati, there's a certain path you have to take, right? Like you can't jump on I-75 West and think that you're somehow going to end up in Cincinnati. You can't jump on I-75 North and think that you will somehow end up in Cincinnati. No, in order for us to get to Cincinnati, I had to go down I-75 South. My destination was marked by the path that I took. If we want to get to the right destination, we have to take the right path. You don't go to med school to learn how to fly a plane, right? Like, you don't go to plumber school to learn how to be an electrician. No, our destination is determined by the path that we take. You know, this isn't just true for travel. It's not just true for our vocations, but this is true in all of life. Every single one of us this morning, every person that has breath in their lungs this morning is on some kind of path in your life. The decisions that you make, the desires that you follow, the things which you pursue, they are shaping the direction of your life. And so the question for us this morning is not just, am I on a path, but the question is, where is that path taking me? As we get to our text this morning, here's the tension that I want you to feel. The tension that we find in our text before us is simply the tension that choices matter. Choices matter. They shape where you go. They influence how you live. Most importantly, as we'll find this morning, your choices determine where you will spend your eternity. Because our destination is determined by the path that we take. Matthew chapter 7, I want you to join me in verse 13. This morning we're going to look at verse 13 and verse 14. There in verse 13, Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Tag for today's message is choose wisely. Choose wisely. All throughout the Sermon on the Mount that we have been studying for the past several months now, we have seen Jesus explain what does it look like to belong to the kingdom of God. We have communicated it this way. What does it look like to be a Christian? Right? Not just to claim Christianity, but to live the Christian life as prescribed by Christ himself. You know, I believe what we've seen is that this call to follow Christ, this call that Jesus has laid out for us is nothing short of radical. For three chapters, from Matthew chapter 5 to Matthew chapter 7, Jesus has shown us that the kingdom of God is not filled with the powerful, it's not filled with the self-righteous, it's not filled with the self-sufficient, but rather the kingdom of God is filled with redeemed men and women who pursue intimacy over flattery, who pursue honesty over hypocrisy, who pursue holiness over happiness, who pursue Christ over their comfort. It's an inside out, upside down kingdom where the first will be last and the last will be first. This morning, we come to the end of Jesus' teaching. Here in verses 13 to verse 29, as we will travel through over the next several weeks, what we find is that Jesus really, in verse 12, he really ends his description of what it looks like to be a part of the kingdom of God. And now Jesus slows down. He makes this transition as he comes to a close. And Jesus moves from explaining the kingdom of God to inviting people into the kingdom of God. Verse 13 marks this transition. It's the beginning of Christ's closing call for the hearer, for you to respond to everything that he has taught. As his sermon comes to an end, Jesus forces the listener to wrestle with the question, where is my life leading me? Where is my life leading me? As we look at verse 13 and verse 14 this morning, in order to answer that question, Jesus lays side by side. We see this contrast. Jesus puts side by side two gates, two roads, two destinations, and two groups of people to make one thing unmistakably clear. Your destination is determined by the path that you take. You know, the good news for us this morning is that in this life, Jesus does not leave it ambiguous to us about what is the right path that we should take, right? He doesn't say, come to the fork in the road and try to figure it out on your own, but Jesus begins in verse 13 by urgently commanding, enter through the narrow gate. And so as we come to this text this morning, the first thing we are going to see is that the kingdom of God is entered into deliberately. The kingdom of God is entered into deliberately. I want you to recognize this morning, nobody will ever just drift their way into the kingdom of God, just kind of meander their way into a relationship with the Lord. As we look at this text this morning, what we see is that there are two gates. These gates can be understood as entrances, right? Gates give access. These are access points to something that Christ is pointing towards. There is the narrow gate and there is the wide gate. And Jesus again begins by urging the hearer, by urging you, enter through the narrow gate. As we think about that narrow gate this morning, the image that is being drawn here, that narrowness of that gate, what that means is that this gate is tight. This gate is restricted. This gate is a gate that is confined. You know, for many people, when they see the narrow gate and they try to wrestle with what that means in their mind, they begin to assume that what God is saying is that he is somehow selective in some kind of unfair way about who and who cannot be a part of the kingdom. But I need you to recognize this morning, the narrow gate is not about God's unwillingness to save. 1 Timothy 2:4 says, God desires that all men be saved, that all come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's not narrow because God is unwilling to save. It's not narrow because God is hiding it. Again, Jesus makes it clear. He says, choose the narrow gate, right? So it's not narrow because he's unwilling. It's not narrow because it is hidden. But rather, as we see our text this morning, as we see throughout all of the Gospels in the New Testament, this gate is narrow because there is only one way in. The narrow gate is not about the scope of God's salvation. Is it about the means of God's salvation and entrance into the kingdom of God? You see, if you talk to people in the world, if you ask somebody, how can I know I've had a relationship with God? How do I find ultimate fulfillment in this life? The world would say to you that all roads lead to God. As you go on about, you will find there are many different philosophies and ideas and religions from the religious and the non-religious alike about what it looks like to access God, about what it looks like to know God, about what it looks like to have a relationship with God. But again, we see this morning Jesus enters into, or he invites us to enter into the narrow gate. And in doing that, he warns of this wide gate that says all roads lead to God. You see, the wide gate is wide open. Through the wide gate, there is easily accessibility. Through the wide gate, there is a lack of restriction. Through the wide gate, anything goes and everything is right. The wide gate, if we wanted to summarize it in one word or two words, I could say the wide gate is the gate of self-rule. What I mean by that is through this gate, you get to sit on the throne. And through this gate, you get to define truth. Truth is relative, right? You have your truth and I have my truth, but we all get to have our own truth. And through this gate, you get to pursue your own desires. You get to live life according to your own terms because you really are the little g God of your life. Through the wide gate, all that matters is sincerity. Listen, God knows my heart. It doesn't matter what religion I follow, as long as I am sincere about what I believe, as long as I am genuine in my faith, and I can believe what I want to believe, I can do what I want to do, right? I can live how I want to live because God is love, right? And while that wide gate seems to offer freedom, make no mistake about it, church, the wide gate offers a false path of salvation. It's a false promise of life. Because as Jesus shows us, the kingdom of God is not entered on your terms. The kingdom of God is entered through the narrow gate. Now also, I need you to understand, the narrow gate is not some harder path. The narrow gate is not about morality. That's what the people that Jesus is speaking to thought, right? Like, if I can just be good enough, if I can fulfill the law enough, then my good will outweigh my bad. Like, it's narrow because it's hard, because I got to be such a good person, right? The narrow gate is not about your self-righteousness. But rather, the gate to the kingdom of God is narrow because, again, it is entered only through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The exclusivity of Christ, what that means is that Jesus is the only way of salvation. The exclusivity of Christ is the most offensive and hated truth of the Christian faith. Listen, if you tell somebody that salvation is found in Jesus alone, no matter how sincere they are, no matter how genuine they are, if you tell them, listen, you can only be saved through Christ, they will call you narrow-minded, and they will call you intolerant, they will call you a bigot, they will call you hateful. But I want you to recognize this morning that the exclusivity of Christ is not some doctrine that was made up by the church. And the exclusivity of Christ was not just a bunch of bigoted Christians getting together and trying to keep people out, but rather, as we look at Scripture, the exclusivity of Christ was taught by Jesus himself. John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the gate. He doesn't say, I am a gate. I am some gate. I am one gate that leads to God. He says, I am the exclusive gate. He says, if anyone enters by me, right, by what I have declared, by what I have done, not by what you think in your mind, but if you enter by me, he says, you will, to promise, be saved. John 14, Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. I am the life. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. The exclusivity of Christ is not a doctrine made up by men. The exclusivity of Christ is a claim made by Jesus himself. Listen, to enter the narrow gate is to come to God on Christ's terms, through Christ's work, under Christ's rule, for life with Christ forever. But I would submit to you this morning that the gate is narrow not only because the means of this salvation is Christ, but the gate is narrow because the terms of this salvation, the terms are repentance and faith. If merely acknowledging Jesus was enough, there would be countless people across the world who would be granted entrance into the kingdom of God. Listen, many people, religious and non-religious alike, respect the person of Jesus. They say Jesus is a good prophet, he's a great teacher, he's a moral example. But hear me clearly, admiration is not repentance. And mere acknowledgement is not saving faith. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 15, Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." That word repentance, it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect. Repentance is not that all of a sudden you have it all together, but rather repentance is a turn. It is to turn from the love of your sin. In our sin, we are condemned. We love our sin. We live for ourselves. But when we are awakened to the truth of Christ, a change happens in our hearts where we now hate the sin that separates us from God. And so repentance is that I am turning from the love of my sin and I am turning in faith to the finished work of Jesus Christ. The problem, church, is that in America, I speak about America because this is the context we live in. In America, we have broadened the narrow gate by preaching a gospel devoid of repentance. In America, we have a gospel that goes like this. Believe that God loves you. Believe that Jesus died for you. Believe that he wants to save you. Believe those things, and you'll be saved. Believe God loves you. Believe that he died for you. Believe he wants to save you. That's all you have to do is believe those things and you will be saved. But the gospel of Jesus Christ says unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. And listen, the gospel we hear says, listen, you can come to Christ. You are fine as you are. You don't have to change. Nothing has to be different. But the gospel of Jesus Christ says, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. See, the gospel we hear says that you can have salvation without surrender. But Jesus looks at you, friend, and he says, if you are going to follow me, count the cost. Admiration is not repentance. Acknowledgement alone is not saving faith. So don't miss this. The narrow gate is narrow, not only because it is found exclusively in the person and work of Christ, but it is also narrow. It is constricted. It is tight because you cannot have Christ while continuing to cling onto your love of this world. The gate is narrow because there is no salvation apart from repentance and faith. What that means is, contrary to common belief, salvation is not found in some prayer that you pray. Listen, salvation is not found in merely believing some historical facts about Jesus. Salvation is not found in coming to church. Salvation is not found because you say you are a Christian, but rather salvation is found. Listen, when you see the depths of your sin in light of the glory and the majesty and the righteousness of God, and you see yourself in that proper perspective, and in response, church, you turn from the love of your sin and you turn and surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Narrow is the gate. The kingdom of God is entered deliberately through repentance and faith in the Son of God and God the Son, Jesus Christ. But then notice secondly, as we move on in our text, the kingdom of God requires walking faithfully. Jesus doesn't just give us two gates. He gives us two roads. If the gate, you can think of it this way. If the gate emphasizes entrance, then the road emphasizes the life that follows. You know, what we see on the road is a reality of what happened at the gate. In other words, what you trust in at the gate will determine the way you then walk on the road. Jesus says, the wide gate, the gate of my truth, right? Like my desire, my pleasures, my pursuit, the wide gate is an easy road. You know, this really is the danger. This is the allure of the wide gate. You know, because the truth of the matter is, now I'm not necessarily saying this is wrong, but the truth of the matter is, like, by nature, we gravitate towards comfort, right? Like, by nature, we gravitate towards pleasure. Left to ourselves, we will never choose what is hard. We won't choose what is costly, but we will choose what is easy and what is comfortable. See this in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, Jesus is at the pinnacle of his earthly ministry. He's just fed the 5,000, and he has loads of people that are following him. Jesus knows they're following him for the wrong reasons. And so Jesus turns to them, and he essentially says to them in John chapter 6 that in order to follow me, you must surrender your life. John chapter 6 and verse 66, this is the response. As a result, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Danny Aiken says the broad road is easy because it is roomy, it is popular, and it is undemanding. On the easy road, anything goes. There is room for your sin. There is room for your flesh. There is room for your desires. Listen, the rules are few. The road is wide open. On the broad road, you can say you believe in God, but yet live however you want. You can claim Christ, yet never submit to him. You can hold on to your pride. You can hold on to your lust. You can hold on to your bitterness, your greed, your love for the world, and never feel the need to surrender any of it. The wide gate leads to an easy road because the easy road is paved. It is paved by the desires of my own heart. All you got to do is be true to yourself. The wide gate and easy road offer freedom. They offer liberty. They offer self-rule and autonomy. But the problem with the easy road, church, is the same problem that we have with the wide gate. And that problem is you are not God. You don't get to make up your own terms. In the Proverbs, we find this parallel to what Jesus is teaching here. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says, there is a way, there is a path, there is a journey, there is a way that seems right to a man. Right? It's the way whose gate is broad. Anybody can come. It is the way whose road is easy. There's no rules. There's no regulations. There's no restrictions. Yet the proverb says that in the end, this way, my way, leads to death. There's this idea among many people, including Christians, that if something feels right, if something's bringing me happiness, listen, if it's bringing me joy, if I have peace in the middle of this, if it feels right, then it must be right. But can I just tell you this morning, there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it's the way to death. The wide gate seduces with its neatly paved roads. It's wide open arms. It promises life. It promises joy. It promises happiness. But friend, it brings death. What you trust at the gate will determine how you walk on the road. If you are trusting in your own understanding, right? We just prayed, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7. If you are trusting in your own understanding, then you will walk according to your own understanding. It is a path that may feel easy. It is a path that may feel like it is right. But in the end, that path will bring forth death. But the narrow gate leads to a much different road. Jesus says, look at it. Once you enter through that narrow gate, the road itself is hard. It's difficult. That Greek word that is translated hard there, it means pressed. It means to be constricted or constrained. It means to be afflicted. Watch this. Throughout the New Testament, and the word that we see there translated hard is related to the word that is translated persecuted. In other words, the narrow gate leads to a road that is marked by pressure, a road that is marked by persecution, a road that is marked by hardship, a road that is marked by self-denial. Listen, maybe now you're beginning to enter why Jesus says few will enter this gate and few will walk down this road. Once you enter the narrow gate, you walk the narrow road. Listen, to walk the narrow road is to walk in self-denial. It is to walk in repentance. It is to walk in obedience. It is to walk in holiness and allegiance to Jesus over sin, over comfort, over pleasure, approval, and any self-rule that I believe I have in my life. The message of Christianity, absolutely yes and amen, is come as you are. Listen to me, there is no sin that dispels the grace of God. Listen, all is equal at the foot of the cross. However, it is not come as you are and stay as you were. Contrary to what the world, the flesh, and the devil may tell you, listen, there is no version of Christianity in the Bible that permits you to continue to live however you want simply because God is love for whatever reason you have conjured up in your mind. Rather, Jesus says, you know what Jesus says about love? Jesus says, if you love me, not you will live for yourself. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. To walk the Christian life, it is to die to self daily. It is to crucify the flesh. It is by the Spirit, not by self-will or power, but by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. There's a fundamental misunderstanding in churches all across our country that we come to Jesus to make our lives better. I want you to lean in, church. There is a misunderstanding that the reason I call upon the name of Christ is to bring comfort, is to bring success, is to bring peace, is to bring stability, it is to bring a better version of my life. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been washed and it has been covered by this kind of self-help culture that we live in. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus does not call you to self-improvement, he calls you to self-denial. You want to know what it looks like to follow Jesus? I was talking to our 102 class, membership class this morning about, you know, how at our church, and most churches across the United States, most evangelical churches, you know, we ask the members, we ask those who are attending, listen, we say, we want you to sit one, we want you to serve one. It's for your good, right? Like, what we mean by that is, aside from, you know, the Sunday gathering, I think it's good. If you are part of at least one kind of discipleship, right? Whether that's equipping hour, lighthouse, D group, whatever it is, just one. And then serve in one capacity or another. Boy, you ask people to do that, man, it's like you ask them to carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. I want you to listen to this. This is what I found this week on social media. Maybe you saw it. It's a baptism questionnaire from a church in South Asia. In order for a person to be baptized, to affirm their faith in Jesus Christ, this is what they have to affirm. Listen to this questionnaire. Are you willing to leave home and the blessing of your father? Are you willing to lose your job? Are you willing to return to the very people who persecuted you, to forgive them, and to share the love of Christ with them? Are you willing to give an offering to the Lord? Are you willing to be beaten rather than deny your faith? Are you willing to go to prison? And then the very last one, are you willing to die for Jesus? Shame on us. Shame on us, church. You know, seeing the posture of believers in these hard countries all throughout this world should challenge us You know, there are countries where they face death for gathering, and yet they still meet secretly, knowing that if we get caught in this secret meeting of church, we will die. And yet we struggle to get up early on a Sunday. There are countries where the Bible is banned. They don't have access to a Bible. And so what they do is they memorize the Bible so that they can recite it to one another. They say the Bible to themselves, to one another, so they can have the Word of God in their minds at all times. And we have 20 Bibles at our house. Listen, we have an infinite amount of Bibles on our phone, and we can't even open up the words of life once a week. And these are people that have nothing. They have nothing, and they give sacrificially. And yet we spend more on Starbucks than we do on the work of the Lord. And I believe Warren Wiersbe gives a good litmus test. He says, if your faith has cost you nothing, then it may not be a true profession. If your faith has cost you nothing, it may not be a true profession. Listen, may this challenge us this morning. May this challenge somebody here this morning who currently is in love with the present world more than you are the Father. And maybe this challenge will challenge somebody who fears man more than they fear God. And maybe this will challenge somebody here this morning who is feeding their flesh more than they feed their soul. And may it challenge all of us to see and understand, in the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Die to the old self, die to the old ways, die to the flesh, die to the world, and be awakened and made alive in Christ. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard. At the same time, may this be an encouragement to you this morning if you are weary. May this be an encouragement to you this morning if you are tired. May this be an encouragement to you this morning who are worn out to press on towards the goal, to not grow weary in well-doing, to know that if the world hates you, they hated Christ first. Listen to me, church. Hold on just a little while longer. Keep walking, keep trusting, keep obeying, keep fighting, because the Bible says that though trouble may come, Christ has overcome the world. The gate is narrow, the road is hard. Listen, I know that there are some here this morning who are discouraged. Some of you are downtrodden, some of you are depleted, because the Christian life is not what you thought it was going to be. Ever since falling Christ, things have gotten harder. Temptation has become more serious. Friends have left you. Family thinks you crazy. It seems like nobody understands. But if that is you this morning, listen to me. Don't be dismayed. Don't be downtrodden. Don't even be surprised. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, mark it down, you will be persecuted. At the same time, our Lord and Savior, in the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are you when you are persecuted. Blessed are you when life gets hard because you're living for me. Blessed are you because in the end, the kingdom of heaven is yours. Make no mistake, church, the Christian walk, the narrow road, is hard. It's hard. It's difficult. It's tough. It is to deny your sin, to deny your flesh. Listen, it is to engage in real spiritual warfare on all accounts. It is to live in light of God's word. But listen to me, though it is hard, it is not crushing. Listen, the same Jesus who says, count the cost, and the same Jesus who says deny yourself, the same Jesus who says you need to be willing to forsake mother and father and brothers and friends, listen, that same Jesus says that when you are weary and you are tired, that you can come to him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. Listen, church, when you know Christ, and when you live for Christ, when you serve Christ, there will be some mountains you come to that seem too high to scale. There will be some waters you come to that will be too deep to travail. Listen to me, there will be bumps in the road. There will be dangerous curves, but do not fear and be afraid, because Christ will be with you all the way. Don't get it twisted. Listen, you ain't standing this morning after all you've been through because you think that somehow you are hanging on to Christ, but you're still standing. And listen to me, you got here this morning. You sang this morning. You prayed this morning. You served this morning because he is holding on to you. Amen. The kingdom of God requires walking faithfully. Many people are looking for the meaning of life, wondering how to find fulfillment and purpose. We see two gates, we see two roads, we see two destinations. The kingdom of God is entered into deliberately. The kingdom of God is walked faithfully. Lastly, the kingdom of God is worth the journey. Many journey through life on the easy road and through the broad gate of my truth and self-rule. But the problem is, again, as we already mentioned, that while the broad gate and easy road are attractive, while they are seductive, they tell a lie. When you follow the broad gate and easy road, what you will find is that everything that shines ain't always gold. Listen, the broad gate and easy road, they promise much and they deliver little. See, what many find on that easy road is that just because the road feels easy don't mean it's leading somewhere safe. Jesus says the broad gate and the easy road lead to destruction. Listen, there's no trying to soften this word or this text this morning. That word destruction is speaking of a final ruin. It's speaking of complete loss. It is speaking of something that is irreversible and beyond repair. It is not a temporal bump in the road. It is not hard times or trials. But the destruction Jesus is speaking of is the final end of the broad way. The destruction that Jesus says this easy road leads to is to stand before a holy God, guilty in your sin, with no hope of your rescue. Listen to me, with no answer for your rebellion, apart from condemnation forever in hell. The person who continues in sin, who never repents, who never sees the glory and majesty of Christ, and runs to the cross, who breezes through life on the easy road, will face final ruin before the judgment of God. Sin undealt with will always lead to death. So I beg you this morning, listen, don't fall for the seductive allure of the wide gates. The enticing lie that your truth is all that matters, that you can live however you please. Do not gain the world only to lose your soul. Rather, enter through the narrow gates. Walk the hard path through the power of Christ, knowing that in the end it will be worth it. Two journeys. One looks for life and leads to death. The other dies to self and leads to life. You know, one of the things about this passage is we see the words of Christ. He says, the gate is narrow, the way is hard that leads to life. I think one of these things about these passages is that as we read this text, our mind automatically goes to heaven. But I would submit to you this morning, if the life Jesus is talking about is merely getting to heaven one day, or if you think that is what he is talking about, then you have missed the true meaning and glory of the life that God offers. Stick with me for a minute. The reason God sent his son, the reason Christ was hung high and stretched wide, the reason he had nails put in his hands and his feet and a crown of thorn upon his head was not to give you a home in heaven one day. It was not to bring you peace today. The reason God sent his son to die a sinner's death was to repair the relationship with him that sin had broken, to reconcile you to the Father. Peter, in 1 Peter 3:18, he says, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. Listen to this. Not so that you can go to heaven, and not so that you can have peace and ease. He suffered for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God. What that means, here's what that means. What that means is that the ultimate goal, the ultimate pursuit, the ultimate treasure of the Christian life is not merely heaven one day or peace today, but rather I would submit to you that the ultimate goal, the ultimate pursuit, the ultimate treasure of the Christian life is a relationship with God himself. John 17 and verse 3 says, this is eternal life. What is eternal life? What is Jesus going to say? He says that they may know you, the only true God, and the one you have sent, Jesus Christ. Listen to me, church. Life, the life that Christ is talking about at the end of the narrow gate and hard road is fundamentally relational. It is knowing God through the Son. It is being made right with your Creator. Listen, it is being adopted into the family of God. Your understanding of your salvation will radically and fundamentally change when you begin to recognize that it is so much greater than getting to go to heaven. God didn't save you for heaven. He saved you for himself. Listen to me, heaven is glorious because God is there. The new heavens and new earth are glorious because God is there. The reward is not merely streets of gold. The reward is not reunion with loved ones, but praise God that we get that. Listen to me, the reward is not that we get this escape from pain. The reward is God himself. The creator, the sustainer, listen, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-perfect God. So hear me clearly this morning, like you need to get this right. We do not follow Jesus merely to improve our lives. We do not follow Jesus merely to escape hell. Listen, we follow Jesus with repentance and with faith because it is through him alone that we are forgiven of our sins and made right with our Father. The narrow gate and the hard road lead to life. Because the end of salvation is not just a place. The end of salvation is communion with God. You get God. I want to ask you a question this morning. That radically just punched me in the gut. About 8 or 9 years ago. If you got to heaven and Christ was not there, would you be satisfied? If you got to heaven and Christ was not there, would you be satisfied? Maybe even more pointedly, some of us need to do a deep dive into our hearts and souls and ask, do I love God for who he is? Or do I love God for what he can give me? John Piper. He says, Christ is not a ticket. He's a treasure. He's not a ticket. He is a treasure. The question is he your treasure? Do you delight in God? Or do you delight in what God can give you? Do you find your joy that you get God? I believe this becomes evident in our lives when we come to trials and bumps in the road. Listen, in the midst of those trials and bumps in the road, we don't lose God. We may have lost our perception about who God is, right? But when our faith is found in what I believe God should grant me, when I don't get that, my faith fails. But when my delight is in knowing, no matter where I go, psalmists say, if I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If my delight is knowing, no matter what, God is with me. God is with me. Piper also says, if you made a decision for Christ, but you do not find your delight in Christ, you may not know Christ. If all you have is a decision, but he is not your delight, your joy, your peace, your happiness, you may not know him. You know, the good news of the gospel, I want to be careful. The good news of the gospel is you get God and heaven, right? You still get heaven. But even more so than heaven one day, you get God today. So Jesus says in John 10:10, he says, I have come that you can have life and life abundantly. Abundant life is found only in Jesus, church. Enter through the narrow gate. Turn from your sin to the Savior. And know this, my friend. Though the gate is narrow, though the road is hard, the destination makes the journey worth it all. Because in Christ is found not life, but life abundant. We see two gates, we see two roads, we see two destinations, and then we see two groups, the many and the few. I want to be clear this morning. Jesus is drawing a line in the sand. To be a Christian is not some kind of cultural identity. To be a Christian, to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, is to repent of your sin and find your allegiance in Christ. This ain't Ben and Jerry's, 31 flavors, right? It's not Burger King, we get to have it your way. There is a path of life. There is a path of death. There is salvation. There is condemnation. There is Christ, and there is loss. Jesus does not present for us this morning multiple spiritual options, but rather he speaks as the King who declares there is only one road that leads to life. And yet, as I close this morning, church, I want us to be reminded that though we have this invitation to enter by the narrow gate, listen, may we never forget, whether we've entered this gate or not, may we never forget that the end of the broad gate, the end of the easy road, is where we all were naturally headed. Listen, all have sinned. All have fallen short of God's glory. Listen, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all will choose our own way. Destruction, death, like final judgment, is what we deserve. May we never forget that. However, may we also remember the good news of the gospel is that God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, sent his son to live a sinless life, to die a sinner's death, and to overcome death through resurrection. So that through repentance and faith, you could be made alive together with him. Jesus is not just warning us about destruction. He is inviting you. Listen, if you have never tasted and seen the Lord is good, if you have never found your ultimate delight in God, Jesus is inviting you here and now to life, to himself, to turn from your sin, to trust in him, to follow him as Lord. Salvation is free. There's nothing you must do. The price has been paid, right? It is done, we sang. Salvation is free. Discipleship is costly. The road is hard. But the destination, it's worth it all. Your eternal destination is determined by the path you take. The question Jesus leaves you with this morning is, which road will you choose? Let's pray.